I went to the microphone, introduced myself, and said that I'd been a lesbian basketball player at Barnard College in the early 80s. Then I asked the panel if they would address this, and there was just hush in the room.
One of the questions I remember from one of the coaches was, how do you expect me to recruit male athletes if the word gets out that we have a gay athletic director?
So hot.
I think I got a little distracted there for several years, and then I realized that what it left me with, I didn't like.
The gay community is either like they love them or they completely hate them. And I wanted to present both views in the film.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Unanimous Quebec vote makes Canadian couples history, queer college athletes and coaches counter campus homophobia, and cameras crash the circuit mystique. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupré.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 8, 2002. Quebec's provincial legislature this week passed a government bill to create civil unions for unmarried couples, including gay and lesbian couples. It's Canada's most extensive legal recognition of same-gender couples to date, and remarkably, the vote was unanimous. Premier Bernard Landry told a crowd of cheering and tearful spectators afterwards, "It is with immense pride that we're taking this historic step that will place Quebec at the forefront of modern nations on the question of civil union and family laws." The measure extends all the provincial-level rights and responsibilities of marriage to registered couples in areas including taxation, dissolution, and health insurance and pension benefits. However, a number of marital issues are controlled by Canadian national law. Several lawsuits, including one in Quebec, are in progress seeking full equal marriage rights for Canadian gays and lesbians. Quebec is only the second Canadian province to create a legal domestic partners registry, following Nova Scotia. A couple of important distinctions between civil unions and marriage in Quebec relate to age and dissolution. Marriages can be contracted at age 16, but the partners in a civil union must be 18. Marriages must be dissolved in court, but civil union partners have the option of simply signing a dissolution agreement with a notary. But more importantly, as the result of extensive lobbying, Quebec civil unions carry full parental rights, including artificial insemination, co-adoption of a partner's child, and joint adoption as a couple of unrelated children.
The Swedish parliament this week, by a more than 4-1 margin, approved a government bill to extend adoption rights to registered partners. Although individual gays and lesbians have been able to adopt in Sweden, joint adoption as a couple and co-adoption of a partner's child were among the very few marital rights omitted from the legal registered partnerships created there in 1995. Sweden will become only the fourth country in Europe to allow adoptions by same-gender couples, following Denmark, Iceland, and the Netherlands. But unlike any of those, Sweden will allow adoptions of foreign as well as Swedish children. That's significant since only 16 Swedish children were available for adoption in 2000. However, no country commonly seeking foreign adoptions officially accepts gay or lesbian couples as applicants. For the new law to take effect, Sweden must withdraw from a UN convention on adoption that specifies that only single individuals and married couples can adopt. A Swedish government bill to open artificial insemination to lesbians is currently on hold.
1 in 13 gay and lesbian couples in the Netherlands already has at least one adopted child, according to new figures from the nation's Central Bureau of Statistics. The new report counted nearly 50,000 same-gender domestic partnerships, representing an increase of 1/4 over the last 5 years. Only 1 in 7 of those couples have legalized their union through marriage or registry. Lesbian couples outnumber gay male ones in the Netherlands.
Germany created legal registered partnerships for gays and lesbians less than a year ago, and this week, for the first time, one was annulled. The two men had registered late in 2001, but separated in March after repeated rows over infidelity. Typically, German life partners must separate for a year before their relationship is officially dissolved, but a court found this couple to be troubled enough to justify an immediate annulment.
In the U.S., Governor John Rowland signed into law Connecticut's first move to legally recognize unmarried couples. In winning passage through the legislature, the bill lost explicit references to gays and lesbians, as well as many of the rights they'd sought. But beginning October 1st, the law will empower individuals to name whomever they choose to make certain medical decisions on their behalf, to visit them privately in nursing homes, and to make emergency calls to their place of employment. The law also orders a legislative committee to study the possibility of gay and lesbian civil unions before the next legislative session begins.
Non-biological co-parents won a boost this week from a California Supreme Court ruling involving an unmarried heterosexual couple. The state's high court overturned an appeals court decision that denied any paternity rights to a man who had taken custody of his former girlfriend's son by another man. The California Supreme Court was unanimous in its finding that the man's assumption of the father role was more significant than his lack of biological connection to the child. Although the decision made no mention of same-gender former partners, gay and lesbian legal activists say it offers a strong foundation for their future cases.
A gay-identified corporation's stock is being publicly traded in the U.S. for the first time. Media and entertainment company G Society Incorporated is now trading under the symbol GSOC on the NASDAQ. The move came not by an initial public offering, but by what's been called a reverse takeover, as G Society merged with Capital Development Venture Group, which was already on NASDAQ. G Society describes its interests as original entertainment programming and production services, travel media and publishing, website development and hosting, and professional services of data and market analysis for and about the gay community. Its products include GayWired.com, LesbianNation.com, QTMagazine.com, the Dance One Video Network, and print publications Miami Go Magazine and G-Highway Gay Pocket Guides. G Society is only the second gay-identified company in the world to be traded publicly. The first was Australia's Satellite Group, which went public in 1999 only to crash and burn in less than a year, leaving numerous continuing court battles in its wake.
While Pride celebrations around the world this month commemorate the birth of the modern gay and lesbian civil rights movement in the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in New York City, the site of that historic event is in jeopardy. The location of the erstwhile Stonewall Inn, a gay, lesbian, and transgender bar, along with its surrounding streets and sidewalks in Greenwich Village, were named an official historic site in 1999. But now those streets and sidewalks are targeted for two new entrances to commuter train lines, with construction fast-tracked to begin soon after this month's New York City Pride March, despite heated local opposition. Two dozen famous gays and lesbians have lent their names to an effort to prevail on New York Governor George Pataki to halt construction. For more information, see the www.savestonewall.org website.
Pride was celebrated for the first time in Jerusalem this week. Police estimated some 4,000 people marched peacefully with rainbow flags and balloons through the center of the city, despite intense opposition from religious conservatives that led to three arrests for incitement of violence. The march opened with a blessing given in Hebrew, Arabic, and English. Still to be decided is whether or not the city of Jerusalem will have to cover the costs of the services it usually provides to parades. The city claimed it lacked the funds, and a court has yet to rule in the lawsuit brought by Pride organizers.
The week began with a huge Pride parade in Sao Paulo, Brazil, believed to be Latin America's largest. Police estimated the dancing crowd at some 400,000, double last year's turnout. Mayor Marta Suplicy, who introduced the still-languishing bill for gay and lesbian marriage when she served in the national legislature, officially opened the celebration.
Spain's King Carlos reportedly used an anti-gay slur this week. While touring the Madrid Book Fair, he was shown an exhibit of gay and lesbian literature, and according to the newspaper El Mundo, commented, "Ah, this is the stuff of mariquitas." That's a pejorative term that's been likened to queer. State Federation of Lesbians and Gays spokesperson Pedro Zarolo responded, "We'd like to think that it was a slip, but it does not seem correct to us that the head of state, who is also that for gays, lesbians, and transsexuals, should use an outdated and derogatory term."
But another head of state, New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark, has issued a public apology for her nation's past ill treatment of gays and lesbians. This week's edition of the gay and lesbian newspaper Express features an interview in which Clark said, "I would offer my personal apology now on behalf of the government. It's been disgraceful. Of course it has. People have put up with the most appalling discrimination and stereotyping. People have been criminalized. Of course it is. Dreadful." It was the popular Clark's third significant apology to an oppressed social group this year, following Chinese and Samoans, although political opponents twitted her for its lower profile. Clark's Labour government has been extremely gay supportive. As a victim of lesbian baiting, Clark has some personal experience of anti-gay sentiment, but while acknowledging the whispers as an attempted smear campaign, she declared, "I am not a lesbian myself, but some of my best friends are, literally, so I can't take it as an insult because it's not wrong in any way to be a lesbian." She added, "I just have great faith in Kiwis sorting this rubbish out."
And finally, this week's MTV Movie Award for Best Kiss for the first time went to a male-male smooch, the one between Sean William Scott and Jason Biggs in American Pie 2. MTV has previously honored a kiss between women. Although Nicole Kidman won Best Actress and other awards for Moulin Rouge, from the podium she told her co-star Ian McGregor, "I'm really bummed we didn't win Best Kiss. We should have rehearsed more."
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 8, 2002, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
Even if you're not pretty enough to get into one, you are invited to party at a circuit on the big screen. Steve Pride previews the new film that's getting both bricks and bouquets and chats about and with its principals later in the program. How much homophobia do gay and lesbian athletes and coaches encounter on college campuses and in their locker rooms? And what are they and the governing body of U.S. collegiate athletics, the NCAA, doing about it? In this report produced by Michelle Patterson, our Chris Allen goes looking for some answers.
College can be a liberating place, a chance for self-discovery, especially for those who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or questioning. For those who are gay and involved with college athletics, however, it can be stifling and discouraging. Even with a written policy against discrimination based on sexual orientation, gays and lesbians in athletics often face a tale of two campuses, the larger campus environment, which is very open and accepting, and the athletics environment, where even the perception of being gay is not accepted. The National College Athletics Association, for the first time ever, took a step toward alleviating this problem by having a seminar on homophobia at their national convention in January. The NCAA banned discrimination based on sexual orientation on the staff level in 1993. But it only added it to the Constitution for member colleges in January of 1999. Even though sexual orientation was added as a protected class, initially, not much was done to follow up. In fact, at the January 2000 convention, Nora Beck, faculty athletic representative for Lewis and Clark College in Oregon, attended the diversity seminar in hopes of finding out what was being done about homophobia.
So I went to this panel, and it was very well attended, and they had excellent speakers, but my dismay and sort of perplexity, homosexuality was not addressed at all. So I went to the microphone, introduced myself as FAR, and said that I had been a lesbian basketball player at Barnard College in the early 80s, and I felt that I had suffered because of the kind of closet that I needed to live in, that people around me were living in, and I felt that it had hurt me as a young student, and I asked the panel if they would address this. And there was just hush in the room. Nobody said anything, and I basically sat back down in my seat, having just come out to the entire Northwest Conference.
In response to this, Nora and her former student at Lewis and Clark, Andrew Holder, started a writing campaign and enlisted the help of others to focus the attention of the NCAA on this issue. One of the people who got involved and spoke at the recent seminar on homophobia is Lori Priest, the chair of physical education and director of athletics at Mount Holyoke College. She said homophobia discourages talented athletes from participating in sports.
The fear of being called gay or lesbian keeps young people from choosing to participate in activities outside the traditional gender roles. and in this way, homophobia limits choices for all students. I spoke with a woman at the NCA meeting after my presentation, and she shared with me that her son was a young gymnast. He had three other brothers who were baseball and football players, and basically, he was teased about being gay because he was a gymnast, and most likely, he was very successful in that, but she was afraid that he was going to drop out.
Another way that students encounter homophobia is during the recruiting process. Negative recruiting is a process in which a recruiter will use homophobia to discourage a student from going to another college. The recruiter from a competing school will say that the coach or other team members from another school are gay. Again, Lori Priest.
A few years ago, I know firsthand that there was a blacklist going around that supposedly named lesbian coaches. One of my former colleagues that I worked with came in and showed me the list that had been sent to him from a coach who was recruiting his daughter to play Division I basketball.
When a gay or lesbian student chooses a college, they often try to find a campus with a reputation for tolerance and acceptance. But even when a college actively supports lesbian and gay students, the atmosphere on the sports team can be one of intolerance. Stanford University is generally thought of as a progressive campus and has an active gay and lesbian student body, faculty, and staff. Dwight Slater, a senior and former football player at Stanford University, told me that if he hadn't encountered homophobia, he would probably still be on the football team.
My first week, we were hanging out in one of the other freshmen's rooms, and he pulled out these posters of these scantily clad women, and he commences to say, "These are my I'm not gay posters. When my roommate sees these posters, he'll know that I'm not gay, so nothing will happen." And this sparks an entire conversation about what would you do if your roommate were gay, or what would you do if your roommate touched you in the middle of the night, and just got a little bit too ridiculous for me, and I eventually left before the end of the conversation. And throughout the season, there was a running joke about several players on the team about them being gay because I guess they spent a little bit too much time with each other. People would just make awful comments about them behind their back. Throughout the course of the year, there are several conversations in the locker room about the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community center on campus. Homophobic comments about activities that they thought probably went on there. Every time I would witness one of these conversations, I would mark off a new group of people as someone I couldn't be comfortable around. So by the end of the season and into winter training, I didn't have anyone on the team that I would call a friend.
Despite the difficulty that Dwight has encountered, there has been some progress. A few years ago, Oberlin College hired an openly gay man, Mike Muska, as their athletic director. There was some resistance during the interview process, but overall, he's found a lot of support.
One of the questions I remember from one of the coaches was, "How do you expect me to recruit male athletes if the word gets out that we have a gay athletic director?" So clearly there was antagonism even here at Oberlin before I arrived. Right after I was hired, I think the issue came up by certain alums that had issues in terms of why did Oberlin hire a gay athletic director. The president received letters from some alums, and there clearly was a reaction from some of them that they just didn't think this was the right thing for Oberlin to do. And so I think that set a tone when I first arrived that just made me a little bit uncomfortable. And then also right after I arrived, Fred Phelps, the infamous homophobe, also threatened to come to campus, and we got a lot of publicity about that as well. I think the best experience has really been the fact that I've been embraced by the Oberlin community. Besides being athletic director, I teach a couple classes, I travel for admissions, I'm chair of the Student Life Committee, I'm chair of the Faculty Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual Concerns Committee, and we actually added the word transgender to that last year as well, too. So, I mean, I think that I've been able to take a real leadership role on the campus and have been very, very well received by pretty much everybody since I arrived.
The members of the panel and others are continuing in their efforts to get support for gay and lesbian issues in sports. An organization, Sexual Minorities in Athletics, has been created to further those goals. You can visit their website at smiaonline.org. The NCAA is continuing to offer educational seminars about homophobia and college athletics. These include the joint meeting of the three NCAA Student Athletic Advisory Committees at the July 2002 Title IX seminar and others. You can find out more about these meetings on the NCAA website at ncaa.org.
That was Chris Allen in a report produced by Michelle Patterson.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shots and kicked in my face.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
They're red, white, and sometimes black and blue. They welcome the good and bad, but not the ugly. Circuit parties are either primal gay male celebrations of the tribe or narcotic narcissistic embarrassments. It depends on who you talk to. And now, a controversial new film asks audiences to decide. But as one reviewer put it, the bottom line on Circuit is that a strong plot and well-developed characters are not invited to the party, but strong thighs and well-developed pecs are all over the screen. This Way Out's Steve Pride leaps into the fray.
On your mark, get set, go!
The film, Circuit, takes us to the place where John Retchie's City of Night meets Jacqueline Suzanne's Valley of the Dolls. A morality tale about the downfall of a hunky innocent, lured by the siren call of drugs, sex, and a house beat, Circuit has been trashed by more than a few critics and embraced by others as a brave evocation of a rarely depicted gay subculture.
Your private life is your own business, but this is a small conservative town. Have you ever considered relocating to an environment more compatible with your lifestyle?
Director and co-writer Dirk Schaefer is best known for his documentary, Man of the Year, which chronicled his reign as Playgirl magazine's centerfold du jour of 1992.
Circuit's mainly about one guy and his coming to Los Angeles to live a more openly gay lifestyle, and he falls into this underground party scene. It's about the light and the dark side and the characters that he meets.
You're only young and beautiful once, baby. Just a few golden years. With a little more size, you were gonna be a star out there, John. So hot. You know what that feels like? Everyone wanting you? God, I love that feeling.
A lot of gay people, they've either heard about circuit parties, or they're familiar with them, or they've been to one themselves, or they know someone who's been through this path. They're very, very opinionated when it comes to this. It's very split. The gay community is either like they love them and or they completely hate them. And I wanted to present both views in the film. I've had equal numbers of people come up to me and say, I will never party again after seeing that, as people who've come up to me and said, I can't wait to go party.
Singer Paul Dukakis, best known for his blonde good looks and a catchy sex anthem that swept through gay clubs in the late 1980s, makes a strong acting debut.
I play Bobby. I'm a cult circuit performer, kind of like a go-go dancer. Well, an extreme go-go dancer. And I think it's a very important film. It touches on so many subjects, especially what we all can identify with, like age and what we will do to be accepted in society, the lengths we will go to, the extremes we'll put our bodies through just to be accepted.
Can I have your number?
I'm not ready to get serious, man.
Telephone number means serious?
In this town, it does. But you were great.
I'm too skinny for you, aren't I?
Look, I'm not gonna give you the typical LA booth. To be honest with you, as you date bigger guys, bodybuilders. No offense, Jim.
It's John.
Oops.
I was part of the circuit before it was called a circuit, like Saint Parties in New York and, you know, gay prides across the country. I don't think they were called circuit events at the time. So I think I got caught up in the social scene of it all. I think I got a little distracted there for several years. And then I realized that what it left me with, I didn't like. I know what makes me happy today is I need to focus on my work and my craft, and everything else is secondary. A party is a party. I can only enjoy the party if it's every 3 months, not if it's every weekend. I'm lucky that I have a different perspective today. I'm happy today. I'm happy today.
I think it's accessible to all the gay community because it's a subculture within a subculture that gay people will find interesting and fascinating and topical. And even if they haven't been to one, they can relate to self-esteem issues and what it means to be gay and all these other elements of the story that really don't directly deal with circuit parties. But those issues are wrapped up in the same nest.
Can I ask you something? Are you jealous of me? because my relationship with John was over years ago. Well, that and he's gay.
John tells you anything, he probably told you that I don't like women or ugly men.
I don't know how acceptable it will be to a straight audience, only because it's very foreign territory. What was exciting about it for me is to create a new world, to go to a new place, and to show light on a new subject that I had never seen in a movie before. There's been movies about rave parties, which is sort of the straight version of circuit parties, but the gay circuit party world has never been explored before.
So, John, tell us, what are your expectations of L.A.? What's the allure?
I don't know. I just want to simplify my life.
Despite its important message, the bottom line on Circuit, it's a film ripe for a bitchy critique. But I suspect that wherever John, the small-town innocent turned raging party boy, and Hector, the high-end hustler who lured our hero into the depraved world of the circuit, are wrapped in each other's muscular arms, the line outside the theater will be wrapped around the block. For more information, point your internet browser to www.circuitmovie.com. Circuit is a Jour de Fête release. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Hop on the circuit, the energy in you will start to flow. Once you're inside, there's no need to hide. I should know.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambage, Brian Nunes, Rex Walkner, Chris Allen, and Michelle Patterson, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Some of the music you heard was performed by Queen or came from the Circuit movie soundtrack, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. To learn how you can help in This Way Out's critical struggle to stay on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 2XX Canberra ACT, WFCS New Britain, Connecticut, KUBOL Central California, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please stay tuned.